I'm Ernesto Mancebo.
And I'm Pablo Morali Martinez.
And you're listening to Robots vs. Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yeah. So just to kick things off, fuck Liam Neeson.
Fuck You're jumping right into that.
I'm jumping right into it. Fuck Qui-Gon. Fuck Aslan. Fuck everything that he's ever touched.
Was Aslan.
Yeah, yeah. I just remembered that too. He was the Jesus Christ allegory in that fucking movie.
Oh, jeez.
So yeah, no, just fuck it all. Because listeners, I'm sure you've heard this, but in case you haven't, Liam Neeson admitted during an interview for his latest movie, which I don't care to know what it is, or ever again at this point. He admitted that about 30 or 40 years ago, a friend of his, let me not joke about the serious part of this, yeah. A close friend of his was raped. And like anybody, like any human being, especially if you're close to somebody, you're going to feel a certain amount of anger because of that, seeing a friend of yours hurt. He then proceeds to ask if his friend knew the person, and she said no. And then he asks, what did this person look like? Like, what's their race? What color were they? And she said black. This is where it gets a step above how most of us would react. He decides to go to areas where he knew black people would be. And while arming himself with a kosh, for those of you who don't know, because I certainly didn't, a kosh is essentially like
a crowbar,
like right? a rubber or metal apparatus.
It's like
with which to bludgeon somebody. Yeah. Like it's like for those of us here in the States, it's like a crowbar or whatever the fuck,
a baton.
Yeah, exactly, a blunt object. Anyway, and he did this for roughly a week. Looking for somebody to hopefully start some shit with him so that he could kill them. And this is what he said. Props to the interviewer who was speaking to him at this point and not just getting up and walking away and being like, this guy's fucking nuts. I'm scared and I don't want to do this job anymore. So obviously, Twitter and the internet exploded rightfully so, because it's just like, oh, he just admitted that he was hunting black people at some point in his life. And
that is so fucking weird.
It's so weird, and it's a step above normal reaction. Like, look, we're all human beings. If somebody close to you is a victim of violence or rape or anything else along those lines, it is natural to feel angry. To actually go out armed, looking for trouble, like, that is some psychotic shit. Anyway, the next day on Good Morning America, he tried to clarify his thoughts, you know.
I've never seen a man, and from such an unexpected place, I never thought that I'd hear like Liam Neeson be like, you know what, fuck my career. And you know what, yeah, I know I buried myself 6 feet under, but I'm going to dig another hole.
Hey, why not? Let's see if
see if I can get it deeper this time.
Let's see if I can hit the mantle of the earth with this go around. So he's on Good Morning America and he's trying to explain what he felt like. He's starting to walk back his comments a little bit. He was just like, oh, I think I went out 4 or 5 times, as though it makes it better. And then he said he was talking about how disgusted he was with his behavior, that suddenly he woke up and that he sought help. That one, he spoke to a priest, which, look, I know a lot of people go to their priest for advice, but what you need is actual therapy, which, as far as I know, he has not said he's gotten at all for that issue. And second of all, he said another way to battle these feelings is power walking for 2 hours a day. So, folks, we now know the cure for racism. It's power walking for 2 hours a day. In case you can't pick up on it, that's called sarcasm.
You don't say.
He basically was just like, oh, you know, I just shook off my murderous intent with power walking. Like, I would understand. Look, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
I don't mean to discount exercise as part of mental health, because that's actually a valid avenue to take, but in conjunction with actual therapy, like just walking it out, that's not.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's not how it works, you know.
I honestly don't know what to add, because you kind of like captured the mood so succinctly.
I'm fucking glad that Darth Maul cut him in half. That's what I'm saying. I'm so angry. I'm actually split between fiction and reality right now. Like,
you know, it was
fuck this guy.
It was a meme that I saw. It was like, it was just showed Qui-Gon going after Darth Maul. Is like, Liam Neeson goes after yet another black man.
Oh my god.
It was like, oh geez, internet, will you just stop doing that?
Internet, you just can't beat the internet. You just
can't beat the internet.
But
yeah, I don't know how to react to that, because it falls under a like an umbrella of ignorance that I feel like belongs to people who are unique, like, let's face it, white people who are privileged and uniquely out of touch.
Mm-hmm.
Because this reminded me of the time Tilda Swinton, remember Tilda Swinton?
Oh God.
When she called up Margaret Cho and she's like, hey, what do I look like in the Asian community? And Margaret Cho was like, who are you? Why call me? I'm not the representative of all Asian people.
Oh, man. And Margaret Cho called her out on that, too. Like, basically put all of it on the internet.
Yeah.
And I got much respect to Margaret Cho. She was like, she tried it. Yeah. She really tried it.
She's like, I'm afraid I come off negatively in Doctor Strange for, you know, co-opting a role that was meant for an Asian actor. She's like, it's 3 a.m. and I don't know you.
How'd you get my number? We have the same agent. Not anymore.
What, you think I'm going to call my crew and they're just going to like run around the city and learning every Asian language? I thought that was so weird, but this is... obviously, this hints at a darker problem that went on with Liam Neeson, because it speaks to his own, I don't know if he holds them anymore, his own prejudices. It doesn't really matter if he holds them anymore. What he said was like, you like, so idiotic that it's comes off as comically out of touch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, And then it spread to an unlikely person, unlikely person had to just chime in, and I'm just speaking, of course, of Michelle Rodriguez.
That's I think that's like the disappointment of the year so far when it comes down to like public personalities. You want to just touch on what she said, like?
Yeah. The thing with that was that they asked her. I don't know who reached out to her about it. It was reported in the Huffington Post that she came out and she said that she didn't understand why people were calling Liam Neeson a racist, because if anybody's watched the movie Widows, the recent movie Widows, in which Liam Neeson plays the husband of the husband character to Viola Davis's character, the two make out, and you know, Michelle Rodriguez made it a point to say that, you know, he basically had his tongue down Viola Davis's throat, and that means to her that he's not racist, which I think is one of the most, like,
it's absolutely tone deaf.
It's like the myopic nature of that statement is, it's ridiculous.
It's like, by that same measure, that means that men who are into women and make out with women couldn't possibly be sexist or rapist or anything along those lines.
Because not.
Because you obviously wouldn't make out with the person or the entity with which you have hate. So there you go.
And I was just like, the first thing I heard.
Again, sarcasm.
The sarcasm meter is like off the charts right now. There are scientists running around being like, oh God, we've got a 10.9 on Robots versus Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
California's about to slip into the sea.
But like, it felt like, I'm just going to come out and say it. She's a fucking idiot. Mm. And I, like, when I heard that, I thought she's like, oh, God, that's disappointing, because it makes her sound like a dopey fucking mess.
It really does.
Like, it's so short-sighted and blissfully ignorant that it's just like Michelle Rodriguez, just come down to earth, like, talk to someone.
Especially disappointing from a fellow Latina, you know? Yeah. It's like, it's just like, do you not, surely in your time in Hollywood, you've experienced racism or at least some sort of microaggression.
Of course she has. Look at the roles that she's gotten. She's always like the angry Latina, right? Mm-hmm. That always gets murdered.
Yeah.
Right? Falling under the term or the phrase Vasquez always dies,
mm-hmm.
Which is like a trope in Hollywood where the strong Latina character always gets murdered before the last act of the movie.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, she knows what that's like, but for some reason she just doesn't see the forest for the trees in this case.
I don't know if she's just trying to stay in the stay in the good graces of Hollywood. It's not like she's exactly, you know, in their best graces considering the roles that she's been handed, but but like,
this isn't the first time. This isn't her first rodeo into like basically saying something like completely like idiotic and out of touch.
Does she have a history of this?
Well, she made a movie called The Assignment, where she played an assassin who was a man,
mm-hmm.
and then the person, like her enemies, basically sexually reassigned her and made her a woman, and then she was the whole
what?
I'm sorry. I don't even know if I need to even say any more. Like the that kind of misstep is like. Like, it makes me squint my eyes and just be like, I'm like, oh my God, I don't understand, and it makes my brain hurty. My brain hurts so bad. It's like, this isn't her first time like being a fucking idiot. So yeah, I don't know. I can't say that I wish well on any of their careers. So whatever.
You don't
fuck
have
to. Them both.
All I'm saying is that scene in Avatar is no longer as tragic to me as it used to be. Because I'm serious. It used to hit me right in the feel.
Yeah.
Right in the feels. Like, you know, just that look on her face when the chopper's going down and she's just like, I'm sorry, Jake. And, you know, and, you know, boom, explosion. Yeah. Now, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think perhaps. Right, let me stop. Yeah. Enough with the crossing of the fiction and reality. Yeah. But like, yeah, it's extremely disappointing. And folks, seriously, like, get a clue. Just because you sleep with somebody does not mean that you are automatically excluded from the possible societal issues that arise against said marginalized group. I mean, seriously, let's be a little more intelligent about this.
Like, if you're a person of privilege, right, whether it be racial or class privilege or otherwise,
gender
privilege, which, face it, let's just call gender privilege what it is, cisgender privilege. So, you know, if you're a person that finds themselves in that unique position, talk to someone or go online and go on message boards, see what keep your ear to the ground, basically. Talk to people who are marginalized, who are in minority communities, because a little knowledge mm-hmm. goes a long way, mm-hmm. and therefore you can save face from making such idiotic statements.
If you consider yourself an actual, like, good person, and you want to support the people in your life, or just even if you don't have these people in your life specifically, but just want to support these groups and be like an ally, listen and understand. And if you feel a certain knee-jerk reaction that triggers a defensiveness in you, because it can happen to anybody,
of course,
including ourselves, just stop for a second and say, well, why am I feeling defensive? And just deconstruct that, unpack it, and then you'll realize that, you know, almost everybody in the society has some level of privilege, and that privilege can be hurtful to another group or other people if you don't recognize it and then identify it when it comes up. You know, it's like it's just an exercise in becoming a better human being. You know, it's not about crucifying you. It's about helping other people.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But if you choose to remain ignorant, you are going to get crucified. Yeah. So.
Yeah, the internet is not a kind place.
Oh, man.
So yeah, there you go.
Speaking of privilege.
The State of the Union happened.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. I got to say, like, just putting it out there, I really did not want to watch this shit, but for some reason I just felt...
Hate watched it.
Yes, exactly. Just like, I'm going to watch the shit out of you.
Yeah.
You know? So... I knew that a few of our, you know, of our faves were going to be, you know, in the audience. AOC.
Yes.
But Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. AOC's like reactions every time they cut to her, it was always like,
yes,
classic. Just just her face was just like stone.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And one of the buttons that she was wearing was actually a picture of one of the kids who passed away in ICE custody just a few months back. So she was not pulling any sort of punches coming into this, as well as so many women in Congress wearing white that night to represent women's rights and women's suffrage and so on and so forth. And it was really beautiful to see.
Yeah.
You know, them standing in solidarity. Like,
it was very stark contrast between, like, the dudes mm-hmm. and, like, you know, the women in the House.
Who are just part of the establishment. And they're just like, nope, we're sending a message tonight. Yeah. And it was so...
And that message is fuck you.
Yeah.
To Agent Orange, number 45, our occupier in chief.
You know, that moment where he was speaking about the representation of women, especially in this Congress, and that eliciting applause, and him saying to them, you know, oh, I didn't expect that. Like, he honestly...
He said you weren't supposed to do that.
Or did... Is that what he said?
Yeah, basically, of course, like, it's Donald Trump, so of course he's gonna, you know, say something that is so, like, ignorant and misogynistic... Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, oh, you know, I'm applauding women. I'm also taking credit for it. And then he's just like, oh, no. You know, you're not supposed to be doing that. I'm talking. You're not supposed to be doing that. Oh, I was like, oh, fuck you, dude.
But he didn't even get that when they got up and started clapping, they were not clapping for him.
No, they were clapping at each other and giving each other high fives.
Exactly.
And it was a celebration of just like... You know, women.
And illustrating so clearly, like, though you're speaking about this, you had nothing to do with this.
It's because of you we were here. Because we're running against you, dickhead.
It's like, you did not further this cause at all. And now here we are in your face. Like, it was just beautiful to see.
Yeah.
One thing, though, that kind of pulled at my heart... when he was, I'm so sorry that I don't remember this woman's name, but the woman who was imprisoned for like close to 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
That the GOP trotted out to sort of illustrate Trump's prison reform initiatives.
Yes.
And to have her sitting there, like, close to his family, I kept looking at this poor woman. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm really glad that she's no longer incarcerated, but I couldn't help but to think, like, part of the deal of her getting out was, like,
to be trotted out as a political pawn.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, after 20 years in prison, I gotta say, like, I can't fault her if that was part of the deal, because I can't imagine having all my freedoms taken away for 20 years for something that was probably either super minor or just did not warrant.
It was drug offenses.
A drug offense for 20 years. Yeah. You would think she was El Chapo for that amount of time, you know? But like, so like, my heart goes out to her. Like, she did what she had to do. She probably threw up afterward and,
yeah,
you know, and just, and is going about her life. And hopefully her family's just glad to have her back.
I just imagine a scenario where the sweet irony is that she votes Democrat next.
I hope there's like
next election. Yeah.
I hope it's filmed. I hope they film her voting Democrat and get Darren Aronofsky to like produce the shot where she's, you know, it would just be this beautifully artistic moment.
Oh my God. That would be me. Wow. Darren Aronofsky. All right. But yeah, that was the State of the Union itself was kind of a shit show, because it was all over the fucking map.
Ish. What else did you expect? Yeah.
and it's just like, you know, AOC remarked about it, and she was like, it was poorly written. It was all over the place. And it didn't lay out any vision for the future. It was just like, Mr. Taint's coming. Mm. Oh, immigrants. Mm. You better watch out. You know, the rise of socialism. Oh, no, we need to be afraid, you know.
And in the same breath, we're going to Mars.
Yeah.
Like,
let's go to Mars.
It's like, all right,
let's all go to the colony.
It's like, I'm going to talk to you guys about people invading us, and then we're going to go to another environment and ruin that. Like, it's just like, ugh. And have you noticed that Republican presidents always trot out space when they're doing really, really badly? Like, George Bush did the same thing. He was just like, we're going to go back to the moon and Mars.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, and this is when his numbers were tanking, tanking.
Of course.
And now
he's a lame duck president.
And now Trump, after having had to fold for the shutdown, it doesn't seem like we're getting any closer to any sort of deal. So it's quite possible we may go through another shutdown. He's lost numbers with his base, at least like a 10-point dip. Right. So he's like, he's shitting bricks.
I mean, like, basically he was saying that, you know, he was going to build the wall and that it's going to happen. He turned around. He said it was going to happen. He emphasized that. Mm-hmm. And he turned around to try to make eye contact with Nancy Pelosi, which I feel bad for Nancy Pelosi. If that monster is trying to make eye contact with her. I can only assume that feeling is the feeling of dread you get once you notice that you're eating a Cheeto and your Cheeto has sprouted eyes.
It's
like, oh my God. That I'm in a horror movie. But anyway,
she just shook her head at him like, oh,
she's like, it's not gonna, you tried your best,
you stupid little,
but this is our game, bitch. So I'm gonna angry clap at you. Good show. But fuck you.
I thought she was gonna bust out that line from Scarface where she's just like, don't look at me, you fucking little monkey.
Oh, man. But then again, Nancy Pelosi, that's not an endorsement, especially from my side of the table, to Nancy Pelosi, because
we're quite clear where you stand with.
Yeah, because I found out that she, you know, for all of the talk about like, oh, she's moving left, you know, because AOC is pushing everybody left. Mm-hmm. So Nancy Pelosi is moving left. Nancy Pelosi, I found out that she attended the National Prayer Breakfast. Now, the National Prayer Breakfast is a, well, it's a breakfast that's basically a who's who.
Do they just eat prayers?
Yeah, basically. It's a who's who of who can get fucked, you know.
It's like, oh, thank goodness that the nation sent us all these thoughts and prayers. Yeah. Now we can just scarf them.
Yeah. So it's like a bunch of like corporate right wing corporate types, anti LGBT figureheads, rubbing elbows with the political elite. And guess who's there? Nancy Pelosi. So I'm still in a place where I see Nancy Pelosi as someone who likes to talk a lot, but when it comes down to the action, I'm not supporting her, I don't know, her political agendas, her views. I think that I will still retain the idea that as a politician, she is spineless. So
gotcha. Yeah, man.
We're drinking bullet bourbon. Tink.
That's right.
And we're angering up the blood.
That's right. Like Grandpa Simpson.
Yeah. It angers up the blood. All right. That's Simpsons reference number one. I've been trying to make it a point not to make any references to the Simpsons this show, as opposed to like the 20 I made last episode.
Why fight it? Why fight it?
I don't know.
Can we move on to more like happier things that we were into?
Let's go into the robot section.
Very cool. Just a reminder to you guys, I'm Ernesto Mancebo.
And I'm Pablo Morali Martinez.
And together we are Robots versus Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes, of course. I'm trying out my Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. Oh,
thank you.
Spitting image of him. I've had a lot of whiskey tonight. So.
I am seeing double.
It's funny that originally his brother had gotten the role of Thor in the MCU.
Get out. The one that played Thor in that play in Thor Ragnarok? That's really meta?
No. It was another brother of his.
Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah, the good-looking one who actually has like...
Shit.
I'm sorry. No shade to the Hemsworth family. But like, you know, there are some who look like movie stars and those who don't. So
damn.
Looking like a movie star is not the pinnacle of looks, all right? All right. So yeah, the other one had originally gotten the role, but he couldn't do it because I think he was on some show or something like that. So they went with their second choice, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think it's worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine seeing his younger brother in that role, you know?
No.
Yeah, so.
No. I mean, I want to talk a little bit about, like, there was a picture that came out of, like, all the Avengers, and they're saying that Hulk looks different, that he's now the mix of...
But before we get to that, because yeah. that's going to be the money shot this week, like...
What, the Bruce Banner thing? Because I feel like that's not even, just like, all worth... That.
Just all of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. But I have a feeling maybe you've stumbled onto a theory that I haven't heard of, but...
Okay.
We want to talk to you about some movies that we've seen recently.
Okay.
I think it was the week before last, during my birthday weekend, which is when we saw,
Life Force.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Folks, listeners. If you only see one movie this year,
do yourself a favor, go on to Hulu and strap yourself in. Oh, no. It's not Hulu. It's Amazon Prime. Yeah.
Of course it would be on Amazon Prime.
Oh, my God.
They have the catalog of, like, you know, we'll throw this in for, like, $1.
Yeah.
Like, it's a 10,000 movie catalog. Yeah, but it's sort of like our Q roll of movies, you know? So.
Yeah, well, this movie, Life Force, for those of you who haven't seen it, We made a reference to it in a previous episode where it's about how can one say it's about naked sex alien vampires.
In that order.
Yeah. Who suck the life out of human beings, and they're hiding in a, how should I put this, a cosmic umbrella hidden in a comet.
Yeah.
Orbiting Earth.
Yes. That's what it is.
Stop me when you've like you've had enough. And they come to Earth to suck the life out of people and have sex with us. And Patrick Stewart at one point is this
yes, we do mean that Patrick Stewart, yeah, the one from Star Trek The Next Generation, the Shakespearean actor Patrick Stewart
is possessed by a naked woman sex vampire from space.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. And then explodes into what I can only assume is a cacophony of flowing backwards blood. in one of the most baffling movies I've ever seen in my life. To which we also had the privilege of talking to our good friend Dave Kafari.
Yes.
About this, and he said that it was one of the most frightening movies he's ever seen. Now he has he takes issue with movie with old school movie effects that use like puppets,
mm-hmm.
like weird looking puppets that are supposed to be human beings. I remember there's at one point that dry, like when people have the life sucked out of them, they mm-hmm. turn into I can only assume they look like the parents of Mac and Me. Do you remember Mac and Me?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, man.
You remember the parents of the Mac in Mac and Me?
Yes,
they I do. Look like that, except yes. they look like they're parched.
Yes, yes. Or to bring it to a more contemporary reference, if Ann Coulter missed like 2 days worth of water
and got like a few seconds of sun.
Yes, they're exactly. Very well put. Then that's what these monsters would look like.
Yeah. And then if they I'll never forget that one guy, that one like corpse got up and ran towards like a jail, like the jail bar, the bars of a jail cell,
the classic bars,
and
yes,
just like poofed, he just turned into dust. Just, it's like, God damn,
it was
this fucking wild ass movie, man.
Say what you want about old school practical effects, there's a certain effectiveness to them that CGI just hasn't captured yet.
No,
because you can feel the visceral nature of it. It's just like, oh man,
yeah.
They made this impact on set and people felt it. But yeah, so we can't recommend Life Force enough.
No. Like
if you haven't seen this movie, just do yourself a favor. Sit down with your best gal or your best bud.
sit down with your best gal.
Yeah, you know,
I don't know if they'll appreciate it.
Well, if she's your best gal, she'll damn well appreciate it. But light a spliff, have a drink, do both. I don't know. Yeah. I don't care. And just enjoy the shit out this movie because it's one of those movies that will never be made again, really.
No.
You know?
No. I just imagine like the guy who pitched that must have been like, he was high at the meeting. And you know, he's like fiending for more. So he's just like trying to explain the whole plot as quickly as possible. Before like his nose starts bleeding or people start noticing that he's sweating bullets because he needs his next fix. Wow. So and then I guess he must have stressed. He was just like, no, you don't understand. She's naked throughout the whole movie. And then they had her walk off set for a while because she was like, I want to have clothes eventually. I'm talking about the main vampire who was this naked woman. who is just naked throughout the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only time I ever saw her wear clothes was she was just wearing a sheet.
Just a light, really light sheet.
A like, hint of sheets.
Yeah, I was... It couldn't be any more substantial than like tissue. Like no. it was so brief. And then they were just like, nope, whatever. Yeah. Back to nakedness with no explanation at all. Yeah. So.
I recognized the main guy, the guy who was like crying a lot. And he was just like, I have to have sex with her because I haven't gotten laid since I was born. That was the last time I saw pussy, man.
Jesus.
that guy, the main guy, I remembered him. He's in the movie Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember the movie Fight Club, but when they cut to Edward Norton at that support group for men with testicular cancer, and the guy is like, he's listening to a guy going like, you know, I saw my wife, my ex-wife, and she's doing great with her new husband. And, I'm just glad for her. And then he just bursts into tears.
Oh, God.
That's the guy from
Life Force.
And I'm just like, that's so weird.
Whoa. Whoa. How the hell did you make that connection?
Look, it's me. My mind is a steel trap for useless information.
Holy shit. Speaking of useless information, I broke down. I had promised Pablo that I'd watch this with him, but I broke down and watched Replicas this past
goddamn
weekend.
Motherfucker. Yeah,
hey man, I regret it.
It's a low down dirty shame that you did that to me.
I should have waited, man. I should have waited, but it was just there calling to me. And I don't know why I fell for it, because
Ernesto.
Oh God, man, this movie. Oh,
watch Keanu Reeves get a paycheck.
That's exactly all this was, because there was no care given to this movie in any shape or form. Like, it was...
What's it about? Like, is it about, like, robotic replicas, as the name suggests, of human beings? Oh, man. Damn.
No.
It's that bad, huh?
No. It's just... The name Replicas is in it, and they say Replicas one time in the film. And it's said in such a way that it's utterly ridiculous. But it's about replicating the human mind. And originally it's for robots. But then off the cuff, they figure how to do it from human to human.
I feel like you're trying to throw up
this plot.
Like, I'm nauseous. I have this plot in my stomach and I need to get it out.
It's gross. It's just, it makes no sense. They just figure shit out like along the way in this, it's unbelievably, it's just a movie of convenience.
Hold on, walk it back a little bit.
All right. I'm going to do my best. Like, all right.
I feel like you're nursing an aneurysm from trying to like explain the shit.
If I drop dead while explaining this movie, just... You have to promise me to punch Keanu Reeves in the face.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn, it's that bad?
You got to give him the Matrix punch if you see him.
Fuck.
Like, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, the one that he gave Smith. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah, that one. So.
That brrr sound was the rain.
That's right.
All right, okay. Yeah, I gotcha.
So.
I'm there with you.
His family dies.
Okay. Keanu Reeves' family dies.
Keanu Reeves' family dies. And the thing is, you don't give a fuck that they did. That's
really?
The thing. It's like, you can't even believe that he gives a fuck, because you don't give a fuck about his family.
Right.
So they set them up in absolutely the driest way. It's just like generic. Like, if in the next scene he had a new family, you would have cared more for that family, because you would have been like, oh, how did he meet them? How long did it take for them to have these kids? His original family, fuck them.
So it's not the level of emotion that, say, like, he would give to, like, a dog.
No, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And, but the thing is, I can't
That's
even,
rough.
But very good. Very good. But the thing is...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah, that's...
The thing is, you can't even blame him, because the performance that his family puts in, it was just like, wow, Nobody even knows you. How is it that you're phoning it in? Like, it was just so cardboard. Everything was just cardboard. You were asking yourself before they died, are they robots already? Because it was just really? That it was just that emotionless. So anyway, they die, right? They're fucking dead.
Jeez.
And he and his scientist buddy are just, he's just like, oh God, I gotta get him back. I know I can replicate their minds. We just gotta replicate their bodies. And they just fucking do it.
How do they do it?
They steal equipment from the company that they work for, multi-billion-dollar equipment, and take it to his garage.
Sweet. The most sterile of environments.
Of course. Because everybody knows you can do high science, yes, high cutting edge science in your garage.
I do most of my surgery in my garage.
There you go. And they grow his family back, except for one of them, because the only hiccup that they run into in this whole fucking shit show of a plot is that they didn't have enough pods for all the family. So Keanu has this 5-minute sequence where he has to choose which member of his family he has to leave behind, sort of.
Okay, all right.
And I say
okay,
sort
I'm
of.
With you. I'm with you.
And I say sort of because by the end of the movie, there is no consequence.
No.
To any of this shit. Oh my for God. Keanu.
So is it pods like in The Fly or is it like pods like in Body Snatchers?
It's pods like in...
Or are they like Tide Pods?
It's it's like...
Which I hear are delicious.
Of course, you know.
I've never eaten them. That's a lie.
Right, uh-huh. I could see it on the corner of your mouth. You just blew goo, you know. So
I was chewing on a pen.
Yeah, uh-huh, right. Sure.
Hey, look, all I can tell you is that my stomach is very clean.
I'm sure it is.
And I shit bubbles.
And
so.
You shit, oh. The pods were more like 4 versions prior to what we see in The Matrix.
What?
You know the pod. Don't play coy with me. You know what I'm talking about. You know the pods that they grow humans
yeah,
in
no,
the
no,
Matrix.
No. I mean, it's you, like if but you took, said it's like 4 iterations before that.
Yes, it's like protopod.
Protopods. Okay.
So yeah.
So do they just look like? Do they look like?
Look, they're just hot tubs.
Okay.
That's made out of glass.
All right. Okay.
And people, they grow people in them. Okay. That's essentially it. So.
God damn! This movie really struck a chord with you.
It sucks. It just sucks. Oh my God. I just feel like there was nothing that could save this movie. Throughout the entire movie, I'm just like, oh my God, this is what's happening.
You know, I once upon a time, I saw a Fat Joe-led action movie called Blazin'.
What?
Wait.
Fat Joe action movie?
Yeah.
You're bullshit.
Fat Joe.
Me. You're fucking with
no,
me.
No, I'm fucking die. I shit you not. I am telling you, I saw a movie with Angie Martinez.
Oh my God.
Fat Joe and members of the Terror Squad.
Oh God.
Angie
Martinez.
Yeah. Post Big Pun's death. So, riding on that wave of cred. He made a movie called Blazin', and let me tell you, that movie is
spell it
Blazin'. It's spelled B-L-A-Z-I-N with an apostrophe.
I knew there was an apostrophe in there somewhere. That's why I asked you to spell.
Right, there is no G.
Oh.
The G's are in the movie.
Ah, so, I see.
Oh, man, this
whoa!
This show is full of puns.
We got a
punrific.
I bet you that's not. This movie isn't even on the stick.
No, I would assume that if it was on the stick, that the stick would automatically report you to the FBI.
It's just like,
this movie fucking sucks, dude.
It's like, look, we deal in illegal shit, but this
this is an offense.
It's too far.
Don't you ever watch Blazin'. So that movie was torturous, and like it was.
I almost want to watch it now,
dude. You don't, because let me tell you, oh man, if you, I can't even describe how bad that movie was, and I won't. So. So let's say
you've piqued my curiosity, man. You really
well,
have.
Like, I like, of course, like a replica's piqued my curiosity because I heard that it was so terrible that it's laughably, it's like the Room of this generation.
I'm willing to watch it again with you if only we are like two glasses of whiskey into this fucking film. Because
maybe we should turn it into like a. Like a kind of like a commentary and just slap it up on SoundCloud and see if people can sync it up to the movie.
Yes. No, I completely agree.
Okay. That sounds like a future project.
All right, listeners, if you want this sooner rather than later, just go ahead and email us or call into the show.
Yes.
At 212-RVT TAXS. That's our official hotline. Don't call that
don't
number.
Don't call that number.
Gonna call up some poor little old lady in like Minnesota. She's just, who the fuck are these robots versus reports? Yeah.
They sound like brown people.
Oh man. Oh, all right. No. Well then fuck it. Call her. Yeah. Just,
you never know what you're gonna get in Minnesota.
But now to the fucking creamy money shot.
Ooh.
Tell me about this theory.
Gross.
Yeah, well.
Okay, all right, all right.
It's not meant to be pretty.
Oh, jeez. All right, so tell me.
Hentai. Sorry.
So tell me, what's up with this?
You were telling me about a theory with Bruce Banner?
Oh, yeah. That apparently they showed a new picture came up online about, I don't know if it's leaked. Photo or whatever, but it looks like a close-up, a more detailed photo of what the Hulk / Bruce Banner hybrid looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks like more like a giant green Mark Ruffalo with kind of like, spiky Hulk hair.
Was it
wearing that quantum suit? Oh, you know, the Quantum Realm suit?
That promo artwork that came out. Okay. Yeah, that's what they're saying that, Mr. Fix-It is going to look like in Endgame.
Oh, are they going to call him Mr. Fix-It?
No, that's just something that you've been, rocking on our show. So I just call him Mr. Fix-It. But
is it Mr. Fix-It, Joe Fix-It? I forget.
But the internet has taken to calling him Professor Hulk.
Professor Hulk.
Yeah, so.
That's not really anything. It's just promo art.
Yeah.
Like, and the real the thing that made the news was that during some kind of sports event, I don't really know what that sports event was called.
Was there a big sports event recently?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a sports event that was kind of that played the background of the 30-second fucking Avengers Endgame trailer.
I was wondering what that shit was that was happening before and after that trailer. Right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, there's a sports thing going on. Yeah. The Avengers? Wow, this is amazing that the Avengers were so like gracious enough to have
exactly
to host a sports event for this reveal.
Wow.
So
wow.
I was like,
gotta
wow.
hand it to Disney. Yeah.
And that's just my way of saying I don't give a fuck about the Super Bowl.
Oh shit, man. But that 30-second spot was epic.
Yes.
As soon as it hit the air, like I remember you sent me a text. You were like, it's out. Watch it. And I pulled it out. I pulled it up on YouTube on my TV and just let it play over and over again. And it is the best 30 seconds since my first time. So.
My first time was 30 seconds. Go team! amateur.
Together we make a minute. We're like studs. So yeah, it opens
up. I hope my ex-girlfriend is listening to this and just being like, yeah, that was disappointing. I remember that. Thanks for reminding me, you piece of shit. So
it opens up with just different shots of New York. Well, first, it's a quick montage of all the Avengers that we lost last movie, you know, our rest in peace temporarily.
Yeah.
And then just shots of like a ruined New York. It's just, you see the Statue of Liberty with just these cluster of like derelict boats just surrounding it. An overhead shot of City Field just abandoned. You can see all the cars in the parking lot just looking abandoned. This faraway shot of Manhattan Island, half covered by like fog. And then we hear Captain America's voice. He's just like, some people move on, which is obviously two different spliced pieces of audio.
It did sound like when fucking they killed off a Chef on South Park. And yes. Then they just like playing. Like, I hate them children, you know?
Yes. Just not
some people to move on.
But it still worked the way they put it together. It still got like still sent chills down my spine. And he's just like, but not us. And then we see that Captain America is in a support group. You know, which I gotta say, there will never be a bigger incident on film of survivor's guilt than Captain America.
No.
Because he lost half the universe.
Jesus.
He literally was holding back the hand that killed half the universe and then just got slapped to the side. So he must be feeling, you know, a little bit of guilt. You know, just a little bit.
A little bit of guilt.
A little bit.
We're drunk.
Yes, we are. And then he says it again, but not us. And then the remaining Avengers, or so we think, walking through Avengers headquarters, going off on another mission. People have been breaking down this trailer like frame by frame since Sunday, and they've made a few good points. The shot of Captain America, Black Widow, Bruce Banner, and Rhodey sort of in the field at night outside of Avengers headquarters, looking up at the sky as something's coming in, obviously. First of all, everybody's wondering what they're looking at. Is it Tony and Nebula coming back to Earth? But also something interesting they pointed out, there's a really interesting gap between, I think, Rhodey and Bruce Banner, where it looks like they probably airbrushed somebody out of the shot. So it's just like, well, who's there?
I'm pretty certain that's Captain Marvel. Other people are saying that it's Joe Fixit Hulk. But Bruce Banner is there.
Bruce Banner is in the shot. Yeah.
So either that or they're introducing a brand new fucking hero.
Huh, that'd be interesting.
People are saying like Adam Warlock, Silver Surfer, someone.
Oh shit, that'd be nuts.
Yeah, if Silver Surfer was in it, like holy shit. Before we start wrapping up, I just want to give a shout out to the Jacked Kirby podcast. We will soon have a crossover right after we brush up on our Jack Kirby history, because we are rusty as fuck.
Yes we are. So time to do some research.
And you can find that fine show on iTunes, it's Jacked with an Jacked with an ED, so it's Jacked Kirby, like the Smash Brothers.
Oh God! All right.
It's a really awesome podcast about basically deep cuts into the history of Jack Kirby and his influence on the entire spectrum of comic books and that comic book medium. Also, another shout out to the Slaps podcast, the Super Lab Adventure podcast, and also the Rodent Hour and Objection to the Rule, and of course our good friends over at Democracy Now. They're not our good friends. We don't know them, but we like them a lot. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, other than that, you know, that's pretty much it.
All right.
So shall we wrap it up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with a brand new spanking show. Make sure to catch us on iTunes and Podomatic, as well as all of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yes. Please write us a review on iTunes and enjoy. We love you all.
I'm Ernesto Mancibo.
And I'm Pablo Morales Martinez.
And together we are Robots versus Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah. And while you're out there, you could try keeping it real.
But you should try keeping it right. Song of the Week.
Shit. What are you doing? Why are you under the sink?
It was clogged.
You know, I got a plumber coming in to fix that on Tuesday.
I thought I'd save you some money.
Guys, you're out of whiskey. What's he doing?
He's fixing the sink.
Did you tell him you have a guy coming in?
Yes, on Tuesday. I thought I'd save you the trouble of spending your money.
This is because he killed that last guy.
I thought you said he died from a heart attack.
Yeah, a heart attack after you drained him of all his blood. Is this because you've been crashing on my couch for a week?
I want to earn my keep. You said no freeloaders.
I didn't mean you.
What's Dracula doing?
He's fixing the sink.
I'm fixing the sink.
Good. Maybe afterwards he can snake the shower. He sheds like a bastard.
I've been very stressed since they bug-bombed my timeshare. I've got beetles the size of my prostate.
Ugh.
He should get that looked at. Tell him he should get that looked at.
You should get that looked at.
Dracula?
But.
Careful, you'll hit the gas line.
I know what I'm doing. Stop pestering Dracula.
Okay, but...